The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 19, text number 10, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 26th, 2008, in Radhadesh, Belgium.
So today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 19, King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifices. This is the chapter 19 and the text is number 10.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Iti chadhoksha jeshashya. Pritos tu paramodayam. Asuyan Bhagavan Indra. Dighatam machikarat.
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Thi Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. King Prithu was dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhoksaja. Because King Prithu performed so many sacrifices, he was superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. King Prithu's opulence, however, could not be tolerated by the King of Heaven, Indra, who tried to impede the progress of his opulence. Purport. In this verse, there are three significant purposes expressed in the words Adhoksuja, Bhagavan, Indra, and Prithu. Maharaj Prithu is an incarnation of Vishnu. Yet he is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Although an empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is nonetheless a living entity. As such, he must be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is an incarnation, he should not forget his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Kali Yuga, there are many self-made incarnations, rascals, who declare themselves to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Bhagavan Indra indicate that a living entity can be even as exalted and powerful as King Indra. For even Indra is an ordinary living entity in the material world and possess the four defects of the conditioned soul. King Indra is described herein as Bhagavan, which is generally used in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this case, however, King Indra is addressed as Bhagavan because he has so much power in his hands. Despite his becoming Bhagavan, he is envious of the incarnation of God, Prithu Maharaj. The defects of material life are so strong that due to contamination, King Indra becomes envious of an incarnation of God. We should try to understand, therefore, how a conditioned soul becomes fallen. The opulence of King Prithu was not dependent on material conditions. As described in this verse, he was a great devotee of Adhoksaja. The word Adhoksaja indicates the personality of Godhead who is beyond the expression of mind and words. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears before the devotee in his original form of eternal bliss and knowledge. the devotee is allowed to see the Supreme Lord face to face, although the Lord is beyond the expression of our senses and beyond our direct perception.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Puri Jana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, we see here that Indra has a problem. Is it only Indra that has this problem? Envy. Actually, this material body indicates that we had that problem. That's why we have material bodies. Envy. So Krishna consciousness is the process of how to become completely cleaned of all envy from the heart. How to become non-envious well-wishers of all living beings. You see. This is Krishna consciousness. A devotee of the Lord has no enemy. He feels love for all because he loves the source of all existence. And he sees everything in relation with that source of all existence, Krishna. And therefore he loves everything because it is all related with Krishna.
Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tashyaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati.
Such beautiful lords, oh Krishna. They are inviting us into their transcendental kingdoms. They are different dhams. How fortunate you are here. The Lord is so wonderfully manifest. So, to qualify to enter into the Lord's transcendental abode, and see is so mercifully giving us the doorways here in this most holy sacred place, Radhadesh. We have to cleanse our hearts of all of this dirty thing, envy. So, how do you do that? How do you get rid of that thing. You call in the envy exterminator to spray your heart. What do? Like some cockroaches or something? Of course, we don't do that unless it's really extreme situation. Prabhupada said an extreme situation, what you can do. Program is to be very, very clean so they don't come. So what to do? How to get rid of this rascal quality of enviousness? So we don't fall in the same trap that Indra fell into. We don't want to take that Indramurg. I mean, there's all kinds of things he had to go through because of his envious, lusty nature. We don't want to be in that pathway of Indra. We want to be in the pathway of the Mahajanas, Mahajano Yeno Gotosa Panta. That's the path we want to be in, you see. The path of the non-envious Mahajanas. That is the meaning of Mahajana. Mahajana means completely free from envy. That is Mahajana. So, how do we do that? Right now we have so much envy. How do we get rid of it? Of course, the Mayavadi approach is just try to stamp it out by denial. There's nothing to be envious of because I'm God. But that's artificial, because you're not really God. You see? How you can say, why should I be envious when I'm God? Doesn't work. See? Really doesn't work. You continue to cultivate your envy. You know, kick Krishna out and put yourself in. Like Jimi Hendrix did on his album. He can cut out the picture of Vishnu in the middle and put his own, cut the head off of Vishnu and put his own head there instead. They showed Prabhupada that album cover. He said he is calling death very near. And sure enough, very shortly after that, he choked on his own vomit in a London hotel room and left his body. So, we want to become non-envious. What is the secret of how to do that? Sometimes we hear in classes that, you know, don't commit offenses. Well, that's true. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. But we have to have something positive, you see. If there's something you can, it's like you tell a child, don't be a rascal, you know, sit in the corner, don't do anything, just sit there in the corner. For a few minutes it may work, but then before, there he is, up and running around again, like that little girl this morning, I'm sorry. Running, 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 running. But if you give some positive thing, you see, then the non-thing thing goes away automatically, and there's no difficulty. So that is the simple formula for getting rid of all of these bad qualities, you know, kama, krodha, lobha, mandha, moha, matsarya, envy is last in the list. It's the worst. You can get all of these bad qualities which are camping out in our hearts in the present moment. You simply have to fill up your heart with the good qualities. And then the bad qualities won't have any space to make their camp. They will come knocking on the door of the hotel of your heart and there'll be a big sign, no, sorry, no vacancy. Try the hotel next door. So we have to fill up our hearts. Instead of being envious of the devotees, we have to appreciate the devotees, that's all. We have to learn how to appreciate each and every devotee. How did Prabhupada capture all of us disciples? Because he had genuine love, concern, and appreciation for each and every one of us in spite of our being such ridiculous fools, really. Prabhupada appreciated and cared so much for each and every one of us. So we were willing to give everything for him. So, that quality of Prabhupada, that we have to learn. How to appreciate the devotees. Every single devotee. In the neophyte mood, our tendency is to want to puff ourselves up and think, I'm a great devotee, by seeing the bad quality in every other devotee. Well, this devotee has that fault, and this devotee has that fault, and that devotee has this fault, and that devotee has that fault, and so, you know, like that. But if all we're doing is meditating on faults, then all we're doing is increasing our own fault. You see, you become like that upon which you are meditating. If all you're doing is meditating on faults, then all you're doing is increasing your own fault. So, what we have to do instead is look for that good quality. Actually, everyone has a good quality. Even the most wicked, despicable demons, asura bhava, everyone somewhere deep within has some good qualities. Because ultimately we are all coming from the spiritual world. That is our original home. So everyone has pure bhakti very deep, deep, deep within. Some it's not as deep, some it's more deep. That's all. You can go anywhere in the world and get water. You just have to drill deep enough into the earth. If you go deep enough, you'll hit water eventually. Even in the Sahara Desert, if you drill deep enough, you'll hit water. So we have to be like them. We have to look at each devotee and see the good qualities in that devotee. Appreciate their good qualities. And what is the benefit of doing that? The good qualities that they have, that you're appreciating, those qualities will also become part of you. That's the great benefit. Instead of saying, well, this devotee plays the drum so nicely, and you know, I don't know how to play, thinking, well, he must be puffed up then. Must be really puffed up because he plays the drum so nicely. And that way I'll never learn how to play, see. But I think, oh, he's such a wonderful devotee. Krishna has blessed him with such a nice ability to play the drum. You see, and I appreciate his drum playing. And then Krishna will bless me that I can also play. You see, it works like that. Envy blocks us. And non-enviousness or appreciation liberates us. That's the thing. Of course, there is a scope for transcendental envy. Prabhupada told me. I was, as a young brahmachari, I was really, really envious, let me tell you, of the devotees who got to be with Prabhupada. Because I was in a far remote little center, you know, out there in Austin, Texas, with Vishnu John Swami. And we would hear all the wonderful stories from him about Prabhupada, or devotees would come through and they would tell us about Prabhupada. And, you know, we would go to the festivals and we would say, yeah, I was with Prabhupada in the morning walk. And, you know, you'd hear this for years, you were hearing of all the devotees who were with Prabhupada, and they spoke with him, and he was always at a distance. So I was really feeling envious. And I really felt bad, because you're not supposed to be envious. See? But I couldn't help it. I really felt envious. I want to also have a chance to be with Prabhupada. So I felt really, it was bewildering to me how to deal with this feeling that it was wrong, but also feeling it was uncontrollable. I really wanted to also have my chance to be with Prabhupada. I was bewildered. I was torn. So I asked Prabhupada, When in doubt, ask the spiritual master. I wrote him a letter and said, told him my situation, to ask him what to do. How can I get over this envy, Srila Prabhupada? And I was surprised by his answer. I was really surprised. He said, spiritual envy means... He didn't say, oh, this is bad. No, he said, spiritual envy means that when you see that someone is pleasing Krishna more than you, you should try harder to please Krishna more than him, so Krishna will notice you also. So I was very satisfied by the answer, actually. So that means, you know, those devotees who are getting all that special nectar that I'm envious of, they're getting it because they deserved it. So if you want to qualify to get that special nectar, then you should try harder to be Krishna conscious. Try harder to please your spiritual master, and then your day will come too. That was the message. And of course I had some opportunities as well. So there is a transcendental energy. But it's not one of finding fault with the other devotees. That's the difference, you see. Not wanting to put someone else down, you see. Step on somebody else's head so you can go closer to Krishna. Like in the corporate world, you know, the rat race. Screw every other employee in the office so you can go to the top. Even if they get laid off, it's okay. Even if they all get fired, it's all right. I just have to go to the top. And see, that's mundane. But in Krishna consciousness, we want to develop the mood of Radharani, actually. We want to live in Radhadesh within our heart at every minute. You see, the abode of Radharani. That Radhadesh, or that abode of Srimati Radharani, Radharadi country, Radhadesh, Radha country. We want to live in that mood of always wanting to serve all the Vaishnavas. That is her mood. Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful lecture in London on the occasion of Radhastami. He told us how we should pray to Radharani. In this prayer, he addressed her as mother. Sometimes some of our ladies object to being called mother. But Prabhupada addressed Radharani as mother. It's a very exalted title. He said, my dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. Prabhupada explained in this way that Radharani, then she will notice. See, Krishna, he's very big, unapproachable. It's like even in a corporate world, you want to see the big, big CEO, it'd be difficult, but if you can get a secretary to give you an appointment, you see, then you can get in. So Radharani, she is easily approachable. But Krishna is not so easily approachable. This is the idea. So, you pray to Radharani, my dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to Krishna. So then Prabhupada explains that she will say, Krishna, here is this devotee, he is better than me. And then Krishna will want to see, oh, there's a devotee better than you? Let me see, who is this devotee better than you? Yes, I want to see this devotee, you see. So in this way, one gets the mercy of Krishna, you see. So in this way, Radharani is pushing everyone forward to Krishna, that my dear Krishna, here is this devotee better than me. In this way, she's so much the well-wisher of every Vaishnava, every single Vaishnava, wanting to present herself as less than this devotee. So this is the perfection of non-enviousness. So transcendental envy doesn't mean that you want to step on another devotee's head. You're in the mood of serving everyone, but you also want to have your recognition too. You want Krishna to see you also. So that's all right. So in this way we can understand something of how to not fall into this trap of Indra. Even to the point of wanting to commit offenses against Prithu Maharaj. Can you imagine? One thing is to have it in your mind, you see. Another thing is to talk about it, you know, criticize somebody in an envious way. The other thing is to actually do things to impede their progress, to put obstacles in their pathway of their service to Krishna. Can you imagine how fallen Indra became? He wanted to impede their service to Krishna. So in this way, enviousness, we can see, is a disease. It spreads like cancer. A little bit of it, if you let it grow, it just takes over everything. You can become completely maddened by envy. We see a world where people are doing the craziest things. Horrible. Unthinkable, horrible things now are happening on this planet practically every day because people have become completely over-consumed and by envy. You know, every week or so there's some mass shooting at a school or a shopping mall or a church. Another terrorist attack. And we just heard the Marriott Hotel in Pakistan was blown up. So many people were killed. The whole thing wasn't blown up, but they did a big explosion. Something like a 60-foot wide crater in front of the hotel. A huge explosion. It's just crazy. This whole world is just... people don't know how to be happy. That's the problem. They think that by trying to increase the lording it over propensity, that's how they can be happy. They have it just the opposite. They don't realize that decreasing the lording it over propensity, the more you can decrease it, the more you become happy. And when you can finally totally annihilate the lording it over envious mentality, then you become perfect in happiness. So this is the great teaching of Srila Prabhupada. And this is the great legacy that he has given to us, the ISKCONites. That we have to become living embodiments of Prabhupada's mercy. Non-envious well-wishers of all. So that the world can be saved. There is hope. Sometimes it seems completely impossible that we could ever have an impact on the world. Of course, in the old days, we thought it was going to happen very soon. We thought surely, and even the politicians were saying that, when politicians said this Hare Krishna movement is spreading like an epidemic, and if something is not done to stop it, it will take over the government. They were scared, very scared. When Prabhupada is here, we had so much enthusiasm that we're going to take over the world for Prabhupada. So some of that faith and the great power of this movement is suffered now. So we have to revive that because If we look at the scriptures confirm the great potency of this Krishna consciousness movement for having an impact on the world. We have to see everything through the eyes of the scripture. That will bring us back to the proper vision. Sat jana dur jana pangu jada antagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This Krishna consciousness movement is like a, or not, it is, not like, this Krishna consciousness movement is a tidal wave of Krishna prema. And it will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, no matter whether they are sajjana, durjana, pious or impious, jadda, anda, ganda, lame, invalid or blind, jagatera jana, everyone throughout the entire universe will become drowned in this ecstatic nectarian ocean, this tsunami, Krishna, Hare Krishna bliss. I remember how oceanic the feeling was in that interview. I think it was the New York airport. A reporter said, "Swamiji, why do you ask your followers to dress for what in the West is such a strange fashion?" Papa said, "This is our preaching method, to somehow or other capture your attention." And all devotees exploded in this. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, you must find it strange because you are all material and we are all spiritual. Therefore, you must find it strange." Prabhupada's vision was pure revolutionary. He wasn't compromising anything. You are all material and we are spiritual. So, we have to stick tightly to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And by doing that, all of our bad qualities, our enviousness, our lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, the envy, it'll all go away. And that pure spiritual revolutionary potency that we experience when Prabhupada is here will be, we can experience it by associating with any ISKCON member. Any member of this. We simply have to get back in completely in full faith in this wonderful, wonderful spiritual revolution that's inundating the world that Prabhupada has ignited by his complete dedication to the order of his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharja Astatarasada Shishi Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. So I can ask now if there's any questions. And you have to speak loud, and my hearing is going away. Did it answer everything? All right, go ahead.
Well, can you elaborate more on when you were telling about how the enemy blocks the progress?
Yes. So what is the question? Explain more? Well, it's a common sense thing because it's envy that brought us here. It's because of envy that we left the spiritual world to begin with. So, envy is really the only thing that separates us from the spiritual world. When one becomes completely free from envy, you actually are living back again in Vaikuntha. Even if your body is in this material world, at that point you'll actually, as Lord Brahma states, Premanjana chadita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama sundaram achyutya gunasvarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. See, when we become perfectly enviousness-less, then we will actually be able to see Krishna everywhere. We'll be in the spiritual world, even if our body is here. We'll be experiencing the spiritual reality at every minute. So that's how you can gauge your spiritual progress. It all boils down to your relationship or freedom from relationship with envy. So you can't just say, okay, I'm not going to be envious anymore. I know the way to be free from envy. I just won't associate with devotees anymore. I just hide in my closet. See, that doesn't work. I'm convinced that people leave our society because they can't conquer their envy. At least in many cases. Because if you see, envy causes devotees to fight. But if we can associate without envy, it becomes so sweet. We're living in the spiritual world. And you see, it's because of envy and not being able to. Envy blocks the cooperation, working together in a loving, sweet, harmonious, ecstatic festival of ever-increasing bliss, which is what ISKCON actually is. The pure form of ISKCON, isn't it? The ISKCON where we're fighting and just, you know, this is a shadow. This is the Maya ISKCON. It's not the pure form of ISKCON. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. So there's a pure form of ISKCON, which is completely transcendental nectar at every second. So we have to understand the only thing that blocks us from experiencing that pure form of ISKCON is our envy. So these are some further thoughts on the subject matter. Any other question?
Can someone become free of envy, totally free of envy, who's not in the Krishna consciousness movement?
Well, some people think they can. They're called the Mayavadi. They think they can do it. They think they become completely pure. But you know, that's why Bhagavatam says, Vimukti maninas. Vimukti is liberation. Maninas means in the mind. They think themselves liberated, but actually they are not liberated. Because they are still envious of the Supreme. They think they're there, but they're not. So no, without developing pure love for the Supreme Person, there's absolutely no way to get free of your envy. Absolutely impossible. Only way is to develop pure love for that Supreme Person. That's it. Questions more? All right. So I thank you all very much. They've asked me to give class again tomorrow, so if there's some question that comes later in the day, you save it for tomorrow morning. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Save the Whole World Ki Jai.